what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, I like this podcast. I wish there was something I could do to give back. Well, there is. Patreon.com/becausefamily. That's where you can go to learn how to give monthly. We'll mention your name on the podcast. We'll talk about you. There's even some other rewards, including copies of our book and things like that. So visit patreon.com/becausefamily. Sign up to give 5, 10, 25, whatever dollars you can. Thanks for considering that, and thanks for listening to the Because Family Podcast. Hello there, welcome to the Because Family Podcast. I'm your host, Michael, and we're going to talk briefly today about the most common questions I get after I do a seminar. You know, I go to churches and I talk for several minutes, about several 45 minutes, three 45 minute sessions usually, about parenting and that kind of thing. Usually by the end of session three, there's quite a few people that have several questions. And so I wanted to briefly, just for the next 15 minutes or so, talk to you about some of those questions and how I answer them when I'm asked, since they're just so common. One of the things I want to do first off is just give you a little taste of these seminars that we do. I've got just a 2.5 minute collection of clips from the first session of the seminars that we do. This session is called The Power of Influence, and in it I talk about the influence the culture has over our kids and how we as parents need to respond to that, and what Scripture says about our role in the influence of our kids' lives. So I'm going to play you that little promo that I've made, and then I'll talk to you about some questions I get after our sessions when we come back. I was a good kid. My brother was a good kid. We knew God. My dad was a minister, and we grew up in a Christian household. But all of the good my mom did, all of the positive influence in my life, all it took was a few college hockey players to teach me how to act the wrong way. Kids are marketed to now like never before. They're marketed to from all these different brands. And we have to understand that influence is a resource. And like any other resource, we can run out of it. We can use it up or allow it to be used up by other things. And there's a scale, there's a balance of the influence in our kids' lives. And if we don't pay attention to the influence in our kids' lives, you're going to see the balance get tipped towards the culture's way, the society's way, and not the Word of God, and not the way we've been called to raise our kids. And as parents, if we don't know how to protect them from the dangers in their pocket, we cannot be the first influence in their lives. It's not possible anymore. It's not possible. Nothing's more important than living for Jesus in front of your kids. And what that means is the way you treat the guy who cuts you off in traffic. The way you treat the cashier at Walmart when she's super slow because she wants to chat with everybody. That's how would Jesus treat her? How you treat the server who's having a terrible day and so she doesn't do a very good job and you don't want to tip her anything. But how do you tip her? Your kids see that stuff. They see how you treat your wife when you're unhappy and how you settle arguments or don't. A relationship with Jesus Christ that causes us to adopt His way of life is real. It's life-altering. And if we're going to live for Jesus in front of our children, we have to know Him. So I want everybody to stand.
You can learn more about our seminars and stuff if you go to becausefamily.org and click on the pastors in the menu, or at kmichaelprince.com. You can find that. And it's on our YouTube channel, Because Family. It's the most recent videos we've uploaded. I have three promos, one for each session that we do. The sessions are The Power of Influence, Our Culture and Our Enemy, and Have a Strategy. That's the name of the three sessions that we do. And they've been very successful. People have really gotten a lot out of them from what I understand. Haven't talked to people. And there's a few questions though. As I stand at our table and I sell our books or I meet people talk to them about resources, some of the most common questions I get, one of the most common, probably the most common, is, you know, where do I go for resources? And I'll send them to becausefamily.org to our resources page, which is actually becoming a resources site as we do work on it. It will be hopefully released sometime later this fall. It's a lot of work, so but we're working on it. So there's that. That's a common question, and often I'll have specific requests for certain books about certain topics or podcasts or something about certain topics, and then I answer those. And we've discussed, we actually have on our topic list for these daily episodes to do a episode about books that we recommend. So, but Melinda would need to be with me for that one, so she's just not with me on this one. So we're going to talk about the other questions. I get one question a lot, and this is very common, and I got this question when I was a youth pastor as well, but I get it especially now that I'm speaking about strategy and things. And one of the main questions is, what about my older kids? Is it too late? My 15-year-old or my 17-year-old? Or what about my child, my young person who's out of high school already? What about that? What about them? And so to that question, my answer is typically to do three things. And I know I'm a preacher, so I always have three things, right? But my answer is typically, first of all, to pray for your kids, and pray for them, for God to send people in their path that will help them make good choices. Pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them as they make choices and give them the right inspiration and the right discernment to make good choices. So that's my first. A second one is to never close the lines of communication. We often want to say, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you about this, or we call it tough love and say, I'm not, you know, don't come to me when things go bad. I would say that closing the lines of communication is usually counterproductive. Typically, now you may have to stop enabling and give them, make them find another place to stay as they're older, or, you know, go ahead and call the police one time to make things right if they're doing illegal things that you're not obviously okay with. But what I'm saying is they need to understand that they can come to you. They can come to you to have conversations about anything that they need to talk about. And that's hard, especially if you haven't set a precedent early that as a family, we talk about things, we talk stuff out. If you haven't done that early, it's hard to turn that ship around. But being there is very beneficial, and letting them know that you're there. So that's my other piece of advice, is never close the lines of communication with that young person. And lastly, I think the thing is to be the example. And never be the example of grace and mercy of what Christ, what God has for them. So if they're actually like gone off the deep end to the point of turned their back on God, turned their back on the things of God, or maybe not even on God, but just on what you would think would be living the Christian life. If they've turned their back on those things, you know, showing the worst thing you could do is to turn off your mercy or your grace and not show them what that looks like, because then you're giving them proof that what they were raised to believe in was just false. So always have that mercy and grace that you know God has for them, and show them that. That doesn't mean that they aren't forced to suffer their own consequences sometimes. You know, that doesn't mean that when they're arrested, you make sure they spend that night in jail. You know, you don't make sure they spend that night in jail or two that they need to learn that these are the consequences, because God handles us that way too. When there are consequences for our actions, we suffer those consequences. But they need to know that how you feel about them hasn't changed, and that the communication is going to be easier as you've made this choice too. So that's one of the most common questions I get. My kid is older. What do I do about that? Another question I get is about single moms, and it's from single moms. And they often ask me, you know, how my mom did it. And they often ask me about, especially with boys, that whole father thing. How do I raise my boys up with no father in the home? And often I get questions about guilt, you know, a single mom having guilt because she left their dad and now her sons don't have a dad around. The first thing I remind them is divorce is not a piece of paper. Divorce is an emotional and spiritual act. It's something that you do when you are no longer committed to someone in your life like you were in a marriage situation. And so when your husband cheated on you or stopped being the father and husband that he was supposed to be in your life and in your family, he has divorced you in principle and in God's eyes. He has stopped being your husband and therefore divorced you. So you just made the paperwork legal and official. So here's my advice. So don't feel guilty about that, because in actually statistically, kids who have grown up with no father in the home do better than kids who grow up with a father who's in the home but completely not involved or counterproductive in the influence department. And so it's better for the kids to be without a dad than to be with a dad who is abusive or negligent or non-involved in any way with the kids. It's just better to write them off completely. I know that sounds terrible, but it's true. Statistically, it's just the way it is. Now, that said, I'll give some advice. I recommend you put them in programs or surround them with family where men can be a positive influence. And not even just like a mentor program. I don't necessarily think that's always necessary as much as them spending time working or being educated or doing church activities, discipleship around men who make good choices for their lives. Men who are good husbands and good fathers. Put them around those types of men to, first of all, redeem that type of man for your child. Because in your child's eyes, their definition of a father has been defined. And if you can surround them with the type of guy who will give them a better definition of that, then you're going to benefit them greatly. So that's one reason. Secondly, that is going to shape how they become a good father someday. That's something my mom was very good about. She actually moved us to Missouri to put us around some uncles who were good examples and good role models for what it is like to be a good husband and a good father and to serve God with your whole heart. And so my brother and I saw that, and we chose that for our lives based on the examples that we saw. And I still text these uncles of mine on Father's Day and thank them for the example that they were, or call them sometimes. But so that's very important. Something like a program like Royal Rangers, we take our son to, even though I go with him to things, but there are some boys who don't have a dad to be around them. And these programs are great for these young men who need a male influence. And not only are they teaching them how to camp and what it's like to set up a tent and all the things I talked about in that episode about camping with my son, but they're also teaching them about God. They're discipling them, and a man is telling them that the things of God are something that's worthwhile. And that just goes a long way in a young man's life. For your daughters, they need to see a man love them unconditionally. Love them no matter what they feel like or look like today. Love them no matter, you know, with no weird, awkward strings attached. And know that their body, somebody who can help them understand as a male role model, that their body is a gift from God that they need to protect, they need to protect it, and they need to treat it like the gift that it is to them and to their husband someday, and not something that is to be flaunted, that is to be shown to everybody, but it's of too great a value. You know, these days they want to talk about modesty being sexist and things, but that's just not it. When you have a diamond that's worth an unmentionable amount of money, you don't flaunt it around, because then people are desiring it that don't have good intentions for it. So you hide it, you put it somewhere, you keep it safe. And that's what modesty is. It's you have something of great value that God has given you, and you cover yourself because of the value of that. You don't want the incorrect and unclean or whatever intentions for that. And yes, men need to control themselves, but they currently do not. And so until God can help us and we can correct that situation and raise good kids who are good men someday, we have to treat our young ladies in such a way where they learn about the value that their body is. And so you surround your young ladies with men who understand that and can teach her that. So that's another question I get. I'll do one more question that I get very often. And it's the question is this, and I've done actually a YouTube video on it, so I'll link to this YouTube video in the show notes. But it's, when should my kid have a smartphone? When does my child need a tablet or smartphone? And my answer is very simple. It is one sentence. Your kid does not need a technological device until you need them to have it. It's on you. It's based on your needs, not theirs. Because they never need a phone to call you while they're out with people, because these people have phones and can call you. They shouldn't be out by themselves very much, if at all. Now, if they have a job that they come home after dark, and, you know, that's your call, your decision, your call, no pun intended, to where they need to get a hold of you later at night or something like that, that's up to you. But I'm saying it needs to be up to you. It doesn't need to be them just begging and begging until you give in. Now, as for small children and things like tablets, there is absolutely, and this is scientifically, this is the Board of Pediatrics who have said, there is absolutely no value to screen time for children under the age of 3. There is no value. They don't learn from it. It doesn't benefit them in any way. It's not good and it's not helpful. So if your child is under 3, first of all, they just don't need it. It's not good for them. It's not helpful. Now, as they become older, our kids do some of their schoolwork on an iPad. But guess what? They understand those iPads belong to mommy and daddy. And they're old. Our iPad 2s that we've had, or they've been given to us, and they've been used, you know, They're super slow and can barely handle the software that we put on them. We have iPhone 4S's that when we upgraded our phones, they weren't worth any trade-in value, so we kept them. And we have the night-night music our kids listen to on it, and some of their school apps, and maybe a game or two. But we know it's on them. They don't connect to Wi-Fi automatically. You have to know. So the rule number one is they need it when you need it. Rule number two is they don't need anything you know nothing about. That's in our book. If you go to becausefamily.org, you're going to get a pop-up ad that talks about our book, What's in Your Pocket? Parent's Guide to Protecting Your Children Online. I talk all about this in that book, and you can check it out there, and you can buy it on Amazon for your Kindle, even for like $5, or it's $11.50 for the printed version of it. If you're like my wife and you have to smell the ink. But I talk about it there too. If you know nothing about it, they don't need to have it. I just told a family member today about YouTube Kids, because their 3-year-old daughter likes to watch YouTube all the time. Or not all the time, but likes to watch YouTube sometimes. And there's this rabbit hole you get clicking related videos. And you're probably less than 3 videos away from something inappropriate when you start down that rabbit hole. So do yourself a favor and learn about these things your kids are into before you get them for them. Learn what this iPad or this Amazon Fire or what this, you know, Android device is capable of. How good is the internet access? How good is the security on it? How can I protect my kids from these things? If you can't figure that out or have somebody help you learn that, you just don't need to bother getting it for them. It's not that important for them to have it. So those are the 3 most common questions I get asked when I do seminars. And I'll do a little bit of in the show notes, I'll put a little bit of a recap of this on there so that I probably won't put all the answers, but at least the questions to help you kind of understand what we covered. But I want to thank you for listening to the Because Family podcast, and invite you to check in on us tomorrow again, because we're going to do episodes every day this month for except for Sundays. So 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And thank you for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. If you like this show, just go to iTunes right now, where Because Family is. Just search Because Family on iTunes. When that podcast comes up, give us a 5-star rating and tell us why you like us, or 4-star, whatever. Tell us why you like us or what we can do to be better. We'd love to learn from you. You can also email me, kmichaelprince@gmail.com. Any topic ideas or questions you have. Maybe my conversations about these things spurred more questions from you. So go ahead and do that. And we'll see you next time on the Because Family Adventure Podcast. God bless. Goodbye.